Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31, page number 1089. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we begin, let's pray before we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that as we open its pages, we read about the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we look at it this morning, we would put our faith in him, our trust in him, each one of us here, and know the life that we have through belief in him. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Chris. I'm part of the church family here. And this morning, we're thinking about belief in Jesus. We've already seen that the Bible makes big claims about Jesus. If you have your Bibles there, do keep it open. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. So do keep your Bibles open at that page. But way back in John 1, we find out that Jesus is God who came to earth. We find out in the book of John that he saves us from sin through his death on the cross, but that he rises again, and today he is alive in heaven, and he calls us to follow him as Lord. My question, though, this morning to each one of us, though, is do you believe that to be true? For some of us, the answer will be a resounding yes. For others of us, it may be that we're still a bit unsure. Or we may be someone here today who doesn't believe. Well, if you're someone here who doesn't believe or isn't quite sure, you're in good company. Because today we're looking at someone in the Bible who was also in that position. If you're someone here trusting in the Lord Jesus, I hope this passage is a big encouragement as we start back after the summer break. Because this morning we're going to see that we have all the evidence we need to believe in Jesus. We have all the evidence we need. I wonder, when we think about belief in Jesus, is it a little bit like Indiana Jones? There should be a picture on the screen. I'm sure most of us know the film series Indiana Jones films. For me, the best Indiana Jones film is The Last Crusade. I don't know if anyone would agree there. Maybe just keep it quiet. It's the best film for lots of reasons, but I really like the ending near the end. Now, I'm not going to give away a spoiler, but I am going to say a little part of the film. You see, Indy is trying to find the Holy Grail. It's the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper. But he has to go through a series of deadly obstacles before he gets to it. And one of those obstacles is a huge, great big chasm in front of him. The only way to get across is to take a leap of faith into the chasm. And in the film, you see him close his eyes, puts his foot out, and he steps into the void. Amazingly, a bridge appears which he steps on and it stops him falling to his death, and he walks across safely. You find out that it was actually an optical illusion, but it's a good example of blind faith, trusting in something blindly with no evidence. It's what the atheist scientist Richard Dawkins says that faith in God is. He says it's blind trust in the absence of evidence. Dawkins is saying that faith in Jesus is like Indiana Jones, stepping out into the dark with no evidence that anything is there in front of him. Now, in one sense, putting our faith in Jesus is a step into the unknown. However, instead of Indiana Jones, as we look at the Bible, we see that faith in Jesus is much more like my daughter, Emily. There's a picture of Emily on the screen. On holiday this year in Weymouth, we went a few weeks ago, we were at a swimming pool. There's a swimming pool. And I'm in the pool, and Emily, who is 4, is standing on the side. She's wearing a lovely pink swimming costume, goggles, armbands, but she's never jumped into a pool like this before. And I'm in the pool, willing her to come in, saying, "You can do it." She's nervous, but all around her, she can see that there are other people in the pool having a lovely time. And I'm there in the pool with my arms wide open, ready to catch her, encouraging her. But she won't make that step. All of a sudden, a tiny 4-year-old boy comes out of nowhere, runs past Emily, and does the most amazing karate kick through the air, launching a few meters, and disappears into the water with a huge splash. Whilst I'm trying to retrieve the boy from the bottom of the pool, I look up, and all I can see is a blur of bright pink and blonde hair flying through the air. It's Emily! Like a mini Jackie Chan doing an incredible karate kick, just like the boy. And she lands with another huge splash, disappearing under the water. I grab her, a splattering mess of hair everywhere, and I hold her in my arms. And as I look down, she's got the biggest grin on her face. She's done it! She made the leap. The difference with Indiana Jones is that although it was a step into the unknown, all the evidence around her told her she could do it. The others in the pool, others jumping in, and me, her dad, saying, "You can do it." All of these things told her she could do it. And as we look at this passage in John, I want us to see that Jesus, belief in Jesus isn't blind, like Dawkins says, but that we have all the evidence we need if we just look. Like I said to Emily, you can do it. You can believe because we have all the evidence we need. Let's look down at our passage. So we're open up on John chapter 20, verse 24. I hope you've got your Bibles open. At the center, we have a man called Thomas. And lots of you will know the story about Thomas. It's a famous one. Thomas, and we often call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas is someone who won't believe without evidence. Just to say, the book of John is written, like I said earlier, by the Apostle John. He's one of Jesus' closest friends. And in it, we see the most amazing account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. But in this part of John 20, right near the end, Jesus has been killed. And Thomas saw it all. The nails, the cross, the spear. Then something amazing happens. Prior to our passage, in verse 19, Jesus came and stood among the disciples, and the disciples are overjoyed. He's alive. But Thomas isn't there. That's what the Bible says, he's not there. We don't know where he is. I like to think he's popped out for a takeaway. We don't know. The disciples can't wait to tell him, though. And in verse 25, they say to him, when he comes back, "We have seen the Lord." Surely Thomas will be leaping with joy too. But Thomas doesn't believe them. Look down at verse 25. Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas won't believe without evidence. In fact, he wants very specific evidence. And I've written up the evidence here. This is the evidence he wants. He gets his list out. Number 1, I want to see the nail marks. Number 2, I want to put my finger on the nail marks. Number three, I want to put my hand into his side. I want to see Jesus, and I want to make triple sure that it's him. If not, I will never believe. I hope we can actually see how helpful this story is. It smashes the idea that people, some people might have, that the disciples were all gullible, or that they just made the whole thing up. Thomas won't believe without the first-hand evidence. And now I do have a lot of sympathies for Thomas. Up to this point in history, when someone died, they stayed dead. They didn't get up a few days later. That never happened. But let's see what happens next. Verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus appears. And here we see his incredible grace to Thomas. Verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Remember the evidence that Thomas wanted? Jesus shows him that very evidence. And look down at Thomas's response. He's blown away in wonder and awe. And in verse 28, Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believes in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He's no longer on the side of the pool, like Emily. He's jumped in. He's gone from unbelief to belief. And it's because he's seen the evidence that he needs. Now, we may think at this point, that's all well and good for Thomas. If Jesus showed up like he did for Thomas now, then I would believe. But this account in John is really helpful because Jesus tells us that we can believe without seeing, that we have all the evidence we need. In verse 29, Jesus very gently tells Thomas off. He says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus is saying to Thomas, "You didn't need to see me. You had all the evidence you needed around you, the reliable eyewitness evidence." Thomas has just spent 3 years as part of a close-knit team of 12, every moment with Jesus and the disciples, witnessing his miracles, teaching, his life. And yet now he's not believing. He's standing on the side of the pool. Jesus said to Thomas, "You can believe without seeing. You have the eyewitness testimony." Jesus is saying to us today, you can believe without seeing. And the reason is because you have all the evidence you need in the Bible. Look at what John says in the next two verses. John then says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Christ, the Son of God." The Bible contains the reliable eyewitness evidence that we need to believe. And if you think about it, we believe in things all the time without seeing. People tell us things all the time. We don't demand that we see the evidence before believing. I told you a story about Emily earlier. It would be surprising if you came to me after and said, "Chris, can you take me to that pool in Weymouth? I want to see exactly what happens." No, you believe my testimony. The Bible contains the testimony, the evidence we need. But God has also provided so much more. His amazing creation points to him. Every day as we look out at the world he's created, as we look into our hearts, he's given us the ability to discern what's right and wrong. We have a conscience. These things, alongside his Spirit-empowered word, are enough for us to believe. And Jesus says, we are blessed if we believe. So my challenge to you this morning is, will you look at the evidence in the Bible? It is reliable eyewitness evidence written down for us. And so if you're someone here this morning who is unsure about belief in Jesus, look at Thomas, his journey from unbelief to belief. He changed because he saw the evidence. And I encourage you to look at the evidence. Read through John's Gospel. If you don't have a John's Gospel, we've got loads here at the front. Take one of these home. Read for yourself, or find someone to read it with. There's loads of people here who would love to sit down and read through it with you as well. If you're someone who does believe, have great confidence in the Bible. Keep on reading it every day. It's so important because as we go through our Christian life, we will have moments of doubt, like Thomas. We need to keep on coming back to God's word. It's in the Bible, as we read about Jesus, that our faith will be built up, fired up. But finally, why does this all matter so much? Why does belief in Jesus matter so much? Look at verse 31. John writes, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Belief in Jesus matters because through it we gain life. Spiritual life that begins the moment we believe and goes on forever. Spiritual life in perfect relationship with our Creator. The Bible says that when we die, we will face God. And it is only through faith in Jesus that we can have the assurance that we are in a restored relationship with God and that we will go to live with Him forever. When we put our faith in Jesus, it's like we're jumping into the pool, into the safety and welcome of Jesus' arms. A bit like me holding out my arms to Emily, Jesus longs for us to jump in, into the safe, loving embrace of his arms. Thomas saw Jesus and believed. We have all the evidence we need. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Will you, like Thomas, say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God"? My big prayer as we leave today, as we start this term, is that you will.